fathers don't mean that you won't have to show them a loving headlock every now and again. Amen. And love. But what we do know is we got to train them up. Amen. Listen, I'm going to try my best to get through this. We had the printer running. Everything was going great. This is a very technical, not technical, but it, in a way it is. It's a lot of information. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to, you'll have these notes next week plus next week's notes if the Lord allows us to meet again. And I want you to know it was a battle, man, just to, when I tell you we are at war, we are, when you wake up and everything is okay and then you stand up and everything ain't, and you ain't got no rhyme or reason, we are at war. My daughter said, is it Chip? Is it this? Is it? I said, it's Satan. I want you to be very clear about that. The book of Acts chapter 2. We're in part 6 of the book of Acts. And as many of you know that, we've been doing the book of Acts since the beginning of the year. And I think it's safe to say that we are most likely going to be in this book for well over a year. And I want you to catch this, okay? That's part of it too. Because I have never in my life taught a whole book, chapter for chapter. Never done it. 17 years, coming up on 17 years, never done it. Never thought about it. But knew that this was important. Because God was saying, this is the church that you have. This is the body of believers that you have. And they are just crazy enough to take me at my word. And if we can show them what it's supposed to look like, you will turn the city upside down. So, again, it's safe to say that we're going to be in this book well over a year, but it's going to bless us. And the prayer is that by the time that we are done with this book, or before we finish this book, my prayer is that you begin to understand what our mission is. My prayer is that you will begin to understand that our mission is a movement in the body of Christ. And while all of parts 1 through 5 were important, I really feel like we're about to get into a bit of the meat of this book already. And I say that because this is the chapter where some truly supernatural things begin to happen. And so let's go to the book of Acts chapter 2, and we'll start in verses 1 through 4 in the New Living Translation. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So as a respect to everyone in the house, I just want to assume that everyone in here knows the deal when it comes to Pentecost. So we're just going to talk about Pentecost for a little while, if that's all right. And y'all pray my strength in the Lord. Acts chapter 2 starts out by saying in verse number 1, on the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. Now, Pentecost is significant in both the Old and New Testament. Pentecost is actually the Greek name for a festival known in the Old Testament as the Feast of Weeks. The Greek word for Pentecost simply means 50. It simply means 50, the number 50, right? And refers to the 50 days that have elapsed since the wave offering of the Passover, Resurrection Sunday. The Feast of Weeks celebrated the end of the grain harvest. And whatever you don't get in your notes, don't worry about, because I got all of this written down for you. You'll have it next week. We got to about 7 copies, and then the printer stopped working again. And so you'll have it all next week, God willing. So the Feast of Weeks celebrated at the end of the grain harvest. And most interesting, however, is its use, the word Passover, its use in Joel and Acts. Looking back to Joel's prophecy in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 through 32 in the New Living Translation. Now, this is prophetic. This is before Jesus is on the scene. This is in the Old Testament, and Joel has prophesied something that has now come to pass where we are in the book of Acts. You feel me? And so, you know, I can't wait till next year, because then hopefully we'll get to start like in 1 Kings, and then we get to show you how 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and 2 Kings is actually all in the book of Psalms, and we'll get to connect Psalms this to 1 Kings that. And I mean, this book is dope. This book is dope. So it says, in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, "Then after doing all those things," watch this, "I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on," watch this, "servants, men and women alike." Underscore that part. Men and women alike. Because it blows my mind that in 2026, we are still dealing with this thing of women ain't supposed to be preaching. When the reality is, the first word was preached by a woman. And the first time the good news was preached was by a woman. Amen. You don't believe me? Let me put you in it. Do you remember when Mary left the tomb and when Jesus wasn't there, but she saw someone and she had this conversation with him, but it didn't look like anything like him. And he says, "I want you to go and tell the disciples and Peter, I live." Now, there's a reason he says, "Tell the disciples and Peter," because why would he say "and Peter"? Because Peter should be considered a disciple too, right? I want you to understand this. This is very important, beloved. God takes you at your word. The reason why he said, "Tell the disciples and Peter," was because if you remember when Jesus had been taken away to be crucified, right? The woman, this girl comes up to him and I mean, they done already beat him and tortured him and you know what I'm saying? And taken him away to do even worse to him. And this woman comes up to him and she said to Peter, and she says, "Hey, wasn't you with him?" And Peter said, "No, I wasn't." And you know, he was trying to keep his hands warm, and he was over the fire. And she come back and she said, "Are you sure you wasn't with him?" And Peter said, "No, I'm telling you, I was." And she came back a third time, and the Bible says that Peter swore. In some versions, it says he swore. In other words, he lost all his Christianity. You understand? "I said I ain't with him." And the reason why he was denying being with him was because he was afraid of what was happening to Jesus was possibly
going to happen to him. Now, why is that deep? Because if you remember, it wasn't, what was it, Sonia, a couple nights before, John, a couple nights before, they have this conversation, the disciples and Jesus, and Jesus and Peter says, I'm going to tell you straight up, I wish they would mess with you. Let them, you know, and you know, and Peter's really, you know, he's feeling his Christian dug, you dig? And Jesus says, listen, how'd it go? Before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And the third time that he denied him, Peter heard the cock crow. Lord, have mercy. And he remembered, the Bible says, he remembered what was said. He remembered the conversation or the confrontation. It lightweight became a confrontation between him and Jesus because he loved Jesus so much, he could not fathom not being there for the Lord. So now fast forward, and Mary has went to the tomb, and she's crying because she feels like somebody has moved my Lord. That's what she said. He said, why are you crying? He's not there. And then all of a sudden she begins to understand who she's talking to. And at the end of the conversation, Jesus says, now go tell the disciples and Peter I live. That's why he said, and Peter, because see, Peter said three times he wasn't with me. I want Peter to know that I know how he did me under pressure. But I don't want him to know because I want to break him. I don't want him to know because I want to hurt him, because I want to make him feel less than. I want him to know because I want him to understand the importance of when I restore him. Lord, have mercy. So go tell Peter and the disciples, I live. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. What is the good news? Jesus lives. Mary went, watch this, Mary went to the disciples and preached. You heard what I said. What did she preach? She said, he lives.
Oh, my God.
He lives. It could have been given to the one, John, whom Jesus loved. It could have been given to Bartholomew. It could have been given to doubting Thomas. It could have been, the mission could have been given to anybody, but I believe, just call me crazy, but I believe in my sanctified mind that Jesus understood that way down in 2026, cats were still going to be tripping about the prophecy that said, in this day, I'm going to pour out my flesh on men and women. You hear me? I need you to go preach the gospel. And did she preach it? He lives. Could you imagine? Oh, God, I feel like. Could you imagine? Help me if I... Could you imagine if, could you imagine the magnitude, the confidence, when she got up to him and they all tripping because, you know, Peter, you know, everybody going back fishing because since they don't see the Lord around, everybody just going back to doing what they was doing before they met him. And she steps on the scene of their life and say, y'all might as well tie all that up. You might as well pick up your head. You might as well stop crying like you didn't know. God in heaven, and on the strength that he lives. Could you imagine the confidence? He lives. Hot off the press. It didn't kill him. It couldn't keep him. The grave couldn't hold him. Lord, have mercy. He lives. I don't want to hear can't no woman. I don't want to hear can't no woman preach the gospel when the first gospel preached was a woman. Lord, have mercy. Y'all walking around up there like y'all got notes. Amen. Those my notes? Today's notes? What I'm tripping on is we ain't sent email, Don't nobody got the notes but me. You understand? You understand what I'm saying to you right now? Don't nobody got the notes but me. I don't. We didn't do what we did last week or none of that. You understand what I'm saying to you? Listen. He lives. Amen. Listen. So there's a mistake on those. It should say Acts chapter 2. But I think it says Acts chapter 1. Blame it on the medicine. Amen. It says, in those days I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike, verse number 30, and I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on my name, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, this is where you ought to get excited, because if you've ever called on the name, he said, and everyone who calls on the name, listen, you know why I like that, Clint? Because he don't put no limitations on it. He didn't say, you know, everybody that calls my name unless you. Oh, no. He says, everyone that calls my name, everybody that calls on the name. I don't care if you call on me from prison. I don't care if you call on me from a rehab center. I don't care if you call from me. You on the floor of a jail with 26 people in racks. I don't care. If you call on the Lord, you shall be saved. I dare the saved people clap their hands in here today. You better clap your hands with confidence. You do it again. You better clap your hands with. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. From some on Mount Zion in Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. Is it anybody in here that knows they escaped? Old preachers used to say, I should be dead, sleeping in my grave, but God showed up and made old death behave. Is it anybody in? Lord, have mercy. Some of them trying to figure out why you still here. And it's real easy to explain, because the Bible says these will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. I don't care what had you. I don't care what was killing you. I don't care how long you was in it. When I called your name, and some of you ought to get excited, because he didn't call everybody's name, but he called your name. I know they had counted you out, but I called your name. I know they spoke ill of you, but I called your name. I know you had forgot to believe in yourself, but because I called your name. Lord, have mercy. So then we, thank you. So then we fast forward to the promise of Holy Spirit in Christ's last words on earth before his ascension in heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, Pentecost signals the beginning of the church age. And we remember Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, when Jesus said to the apostles, it was the last thing that he said before his ascension, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Pentecost signals the beginning of the church age, or to put it more in more simplified terms, theologians say that Pentecost was when the church was born. Lord have mercy. And Pentecost or Feast of Weeks is one of three solemn feasts. It's one of three solemn feasts. And each of these three solemn feasts, the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, required that all able-bodied Jewish males travel to Jerusalem to attend the feast and offer sacrifices. So all three of these feasts required that first fruit offerings be made at the temple as a way of expressing thanksgiving for God's provision. The feast of the first fruits celebrated at the time of the Passover included the first fruits of the barley harvest. The Feast of Weeks was in celebration of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the Feast of Tabernacles involved offerings of the first fruits of the olive and grape harvest. And all this is in your notes, because so when people try to, you know, be slick and trip you up, I want you to be able to explain it. Amen. Since the Feast of Weeks was one of the harvest feast, the Jews were commanded to present an offering of new grain to the Lord, and this offering was to be two wave loaves of 2/10 of ephah, which were made of fine flour baked with leaven, and that's deep right there. In this feast, the bread is baked in leaven. The offerings were to be made of the first fruits of the harvest, along with the wave offerings. They were also to offer, watch this, 7 first year lambs that were without blemish, along with one young bull and 2 rams. Additional offerings are also prescribed in Leviticus and the other passages that outline how these feasts was to be observed. Another important requirement of this feast is that when the Jews harvested their fields, they were required to leave the corners of the field untouched, and they weren't allowed to gather. There was to be no gleanings from the harvest as a way of providing for the poor and strangers. So not only was they giving this one sacrifice, but here, I thought this was powerful, that the corners of the field. You know, when I read that today, I thought about when Jesus said in Matthew 6, and I think it starts in 25, and he says, he's talking about, he's basically telling us, Jesus is telling us not to worry. And he says, if the birds of the air, they don't toil nor spin. You know, he says, if the lilies are here one day, but are being burned tomorrow. He says, but even with all of the lilies, even with all of Solomon, as Solomon was, with as dope as Solomon was, as bad as a shut your mouth, as Solomon was, he said, I made the lilies even doper than that. But they're here one day, and then the next day, you know, they're burned away. The sun burns them out. You understand what I'm saying to you? And he's saying them. Now, if I take care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, what make you think that your heavenly Father, Lord, have mercy, what make you think that your heavenly Father won't take care of you? You understand what I'm saying to you? See, a lot of times what we do is we get all in the way of God when we're going through some of the craziest times of our lives because we have been taught to be fixers. And men, we really deal with this heavy. This is really a hardship for us. We are fixers. That's why sometimes when the ladies, our women, our wives are talking to us, our girlfriends are talking to us, and they telling you their whole situation and everything that they're going through, and we really ain't listening. We listening, but we listening to fix it. We listening to say, you know what? I remember one time Miriam started talking to me, and I started writing notes. Because, I hope she hurry up and gets done because I got the answer. And one day she just had to gently check me and say, I wasn't looking for you to fix it. I was just looking for you to listen. God's telling us in this season, I don't need you to be fixers. It ain't. If it's something that you could have done, you would have done it already. Oh, anybody know what I'm talking about? But all I need you to do is to bring it before me. Cast every care upon me and know that I am God. And if I take care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, they don't do nothing for the earth realm. You understand what I'm saying to you? What makes you think I won't take care of my own? I thought about that when it said that, a requirement of the Jews was their harvested fields was that they were required to leave corners of the field untouched. and you couldn't gather anything from them and it wouldn't be no gleaning. And what it was for, though, was the poor and the strangers. Anybody ever harvested, Lord God, anybody ever harvested something? Anybody ever broke bread into something that wasn't yours, but it was right there, right on time? You can't explain. All you sit back and say, you must be out your mind because you don't even understand what it is that I'm going through. You ever been blessed like that where somebody blesses you out of the blue and you sitting back saying, and yesterday you read that it was a cutoff notice and you needed $77 and for some reason somebody said, God put it on my heart just to give you this 80. I don't even know what this is about. And you just can't do nothing but weep and cry because you're on your way to pay your light bill that you didn't have the money for. See, God takes care of his own. And we better be careful about how we treat the homeless. And we better be careful about how we treat people that ain't doing as good as us because they are so important to God that God said, I want you to leave the corners. Oh my God. I want you to leave the corners of the fields so that as they pass by, if they ain't got nothing, so to the Jews, this time of celebration is known as, and you tell me if I'm saying this right, John, Shavuot, and which is the Hebrew word meaning weeks, W-E-E-K-S, weeks. And this is one of the three separate names that are used in Scripture to refer to this important Jewish feast. Now, each name emphasizes an important aspect of the feast, as well as its religious and cultural significance to both Jews and Christians. Besides being called the Feast of Weeks in Leviticus chapter 23, this special feast celebration was called the Day of the First Fruits, Numbers 28 and 26, and the Feast of Harvest in Exodus 23, verse number 16. The Feast of Weeks takes place exactly, get this, 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. It normally occurs in late spring, either or the late part of May or the beginning of June. Unlike other feasts that began on a specific day of the Hebrew calendar, this is the one that is calculated as being 50 days to the day of the seventh Sabbath, the Passover. Now, like other Jewish feasts, the Feast of Weeks is important in that it foreshadows the coming Messiah and his ministry. Each and every one of the seven Jewish feasts signifies an important aspect of God's plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. Jesus was crucified as the Passover lamb and rose from the grave at the Feast of First Fruits. Lord have mercy. Following his resurrection, Jesus spent the next 40 days teaching his disciples before ascending to heaven. 50 days after his resurrection and after ascending to heaven to sit at the right hand of God, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as promised to indwell the disciples and empower them for ministry. The promised Holy Spirit arrived on the day of Pentecost, which is another name for Feast of what? Weeks. The spiritual significance of the Feast of Weeks are many. Some see the two loaves of leavened bread that were to be a wave offering as foreshadowing the time when the Messiah would make both Jew and Gentile to be one with him. This is the only feast, get this, this is the only feast where leavened bread is used. Now, some of you are going, okay, eh? Leaven in Scripture is often used symbolically of sin. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. What you talking about, Pastor? See, and it'd be good for you to know what that means, because see, a little can cause a lot. Anybody ever been in sin? Am I the only one? And did you ever get in some sin where you just looked at them and was like, you know, that's just a little sin? Anybody ever made that mistake? That. I mean, you know, I'll be in and out in a minute. Ain't nobody even gonna know. That's just a little sin. That's just a little bit of sin. And then 2 weeks later, I remember the last day that I was in prison, and a church came, and this brother preached a sermon, and he said, sin will always cost you more than what you're willing to pay. Just a little bit. Just a little sin can leaven the whole lump. Let me make it a little plainer. Who know how to make a cake in here? I mean, you can make a good cake, right? And you know how you whipping up the batter and all that type stuff, right? And say somehow, some way, just work with me because I'm sick and I ain't on it like I usually am. But say somehow, some way, a little Clorox gets in the batter. I said I was sick. See me up here sweating for no reason. Listen. But if a little Clorox hits that batter, all of you bakers, are you still gonna just, you know, it's just a little bit. I'll just whip it on up into. Well, it's just a little bit, huh? So let's take it spiritual. What'd you say? He said he scooped. JC is the realist. You hear me? He just kept it all. I'm gonna scoop it out. I ain't gonna just scoop it out. I'm gonna look around to make sure didn't nobody see that it fell in there, right? And then didn't nobody see it. I know right where it landed. I'm gonna scoop it out, and we're gonna try our luck. That's why I ain't allowed to cook in my house. But say, the Bible says a little sin, a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. Remember, leaven is symbolic of, and so what the writer is saying is that sin, just a little sin, makes the whole thing sinful. Huh? Just a little. Oh God. Y'all get the picture. I'm just trying to get through it right now. At this point, I'm just trying to get through. All right, here we go. Because we got some more stuff here. Got some more stuff. All right, get this. Leaven in Scripture is often used symbolically of sin, and the leavened bread used in the Feast of the Weeks is thought to be a representative of the fact that there is still sin within the church, the body of Christ, and will be until Christ returns again. So since we know that, right, why are we so blown away by the sin that we see within the church? Huh? See, I don't know if y'all, I be on YouTube a lot, right? I watch certain sermons. And I think I might have said this last week, but if not, I'm going to say it now. The Christians is fighting the Christians more than the Christians are fighting Satan. You can't go on a, you really got a really, really educated man on a podcast saying she's going to hell because she's preaching. Man, come on, bro. Where you come from? What age do you come from? They speak in tongues. They're going to hell. Can I take it deeper? Do y'all know that there is certain denominations that I see on y'all's Facebook pages? Cool and a fan. But they are taught doctrinally that if you go to church on Sunday, you're going to hell. You really think that, if I decide to go on Saturday or Sunday, do you really think that's a salvation issue? A salvation issue? Do you really think if my wife wears makeup or don't, that's a salvation issue? But do you see how Satan's got us spinning our wheels at war with one another? And so people that aren't in Christendom that are looking for a salvation, they're watching us and going, I got enough going on my own. I don't need to jump into that where they kill each other. Amen? All right, let's get you through this. So leaving in the Scripture is often symbolically, let me read again, of sin. It's a symbolic of sin, and the leavened bread used in the Feast of Weeks is thought to be representative of the fact that there is still sin within the church, body of Christ, and there will be until Christ returns again. And all of that, all that we are going, that's all we're going to talk about concerning the history of Pentecost, okay? Now we're going to get through the rest of this pretty quick, I promise. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Pause. The one place that Luke is speaking of is the upper room. And the upper room, or the cenacle, that's another word for it, the cenacle, is the Jerusalem upper story room where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, instituted the Lord's Supper, and washed the disciples' feet. Verses 2 through 4. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they all were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. I want to read those last 3 and 4 in the New King James Version. It's in your notes. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's different wording in just about all of the popular versions of the Bible when it comes to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 3. Nothing hypocritical at all, just different wording that has the same meaning. So when people hear of cloven tongues, and that's your new, that's your actual, your King James Version, cloven tongues, immediately people think of Acts chapter 2, verse number 3. As the Holy Spirit filled the 120 disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, there appeared unto them, this is the King James Version, cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Other translations refer to divided tongues as a fire, like the New King James and the ESV. And the NASB says tongues as of fire distributing themselves. The word cloven means divided or separated. The picture is of something like a large fire appearing in the room, catch this, then dividing into tongues that rested momentarily upon each person in the room. Notice, Luke is careful to say that this was not actual fire, only what seemed to be fire. The dividing of the fire into small tongue-shaped flames signifies several things. One is John the Baptist's prophecy of Jesus' baptizing people with the Holy Spirit and fire was possibly being fulfilled. If we look at Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11, it says, I baptize, this is John the Baptist speaking, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Before his ascension, Jesus had told his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to stay and wait for the gift that my Father promised. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The gift of God came with an audible sound like a mighty rushing wind. And with a visible sign, the cloven or divided tongues like as of fire. The Lord was true to his word, and his followers were changed. His followers, the followers of Christ, were changed forever. You understand? So we're going to read on, and that's all we're going to do, I promise, and we're done. 5 through 13. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Now, there's a big argument. You got some people who say, when this happened, they were speaking in tongues, like, you know, like in a heavenly language. But that wasn't the case. That wasn't what this was. So what it was popping off was, say Kevin speaks Russian. Is Swedish a language? Sweden. Golden, you got Sweden. You speak Sweden. Swedish. What's another language? You went with Korean. Okay, Korean is Willie. John is Spanish. Watch this. So everybody's coming out. I mean, Clint, you got a Bulgarian. It's a language today. And so everybody was coming out and speaking their native language, and you all could understand each other. You ain't never been to that country. You ain't never been to that land. You ain't even got cousins over there. You dig? But everybody is speaking their native language, and everybody is understanding it. Okay? So why I'm on that? This is gonna get me in trouble. Why I'm on that? Run from any church that tells you that if you don't speak in tongues, you not saved. Run, Forrest, run. The Bible says that the tongue is the least of the gifts. You understand what I'm saying to you? So you'll get people to sit back and talk about, they get excited about the Holy Ghost. They get excited about the Holy Spirit. They say, and if you don't speak in tongues and you ain't saved, the devil is a lie. You won't find out nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture. But you know what it does? Is that it has people running around because they believe in the influence of the people that's teaching that mess, and they'll be set back no matter how hard they are going for God, thinking that they don't measure up because they ain't speaking in tongues. Can I tell you, beloved, we have sat in church services, and they would have something called tarrying services. And you got to remember, I just got saved in prison. I never saw nothing like this in my life. And what they would tell people is say Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I remember I was preaching at a service, and they took a whole 45 minutes for this one girl, not to even talk about the embarrassment this child is going through, and said, "You say it, Jesus." And you knew that this was happening every service. So all of a sudden, she began to speak in a tongue. And I sat there and I listened to that. And I said, I ain't no expert, but I don't think that's it. I think little mama's tired of standing up there. And they had a party when she did it. About 2 or 3 months later, mother, I'm in Walmart, and I see the young lady, and she's pregnant. And so I immediately remember who she was, because I was like, I felt bad for how they was doing her, and I looked down at her hand, and ain't no ring, right? And I understand, you know, we get pregnant without getting married. I mean, you know, everybody make mistakes. I got a ton of kids that was, you know, in wedlock. Help me, Lord, you know. But here's what got me, Golden. I went back to that night. Something supernaturally spectacular was supposed to have happened that night. Now, here's what happens when you encounter Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying you get Holy Spirit and don't mess up. I ain't saying that. Lord knows I have. But what I'm saying is, when I got Holy Spirit, it took a little longer than 2 months, because that thing was bubbling up on the inside of me, and it was guiding me everywhere. It was constantly speaking. It wasn't making me do nothing, but it's a guide. Holy Spirit is a guide, and it guides you into all righteousness, right? And so I'm sitting here, and I'm looking, I'm like, well, don't. Because she's a little thing. Mary, you remember her? She's a little thing. So it looked at 2 months, I'm seeing it. And I said, hey, baby, how you doing? And she just dropped her head. I said, hey, I ain't tripping on that. I said, can I ask you a question? And she said, yes, sir. I said, you remember I preached over at your church? She said, yes, sir. I said, did it really happen? She said, no, sir, and I ain't been back. I was so tired of that. And I said, baby girl, where are you going to church? She's like, I don't. And I said, listen, Wilma, you was there that night too. I can't say where, but because, you know, they got me on YouTube. But I said, well, come trust us. And she said, I don't trust church, period. That was my family. That was my family. But she knew that if she didn't play a game, they wasn't going to let her go. Or they let her go only because you got a guest speaker in the house. But as soon as we get you back Sunday morning, you back up here. And if you remember, she didn't come on her own. They went and got her. And I'm sitting here going, in the world. So when anybody tells you that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved, it's a chance that they're not saved telling you that. Because you won't find it in Scripture. You won't find it anywhere that says if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. All right, I'm going to run through this, and I promise. I know I didn't say that twice, but it's over because I feel like I'm going to pass out. Here we go. At that time, there were devout Jews, or where was we at? They were speaking languages. Verse number 7. And they were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed, these people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. The Bible says it clearly. and people will still argue about it. Here are,
and I practiced disease on you. I know you were sitting there waiting to see if I was going to pull it off.
Yeah.
The Parthians, and I know because I went to how do you speak these words? The Medes, the Elamites, the Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, I'm doing it slow though, the province of Asia, Persia. Now this one got me right here. Oh yeah, yeah, I know how I did it. Pamphylia, that's right, because I said Pam and Phyllis, Pamphylia, Pam and Phyllis, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. Now, here's what's powerful. All of these different languages, and they all talking about Holy Spirit got them glorifying God in languages they don't even. That's crazy. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Watch this. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they just drunk. That's all. Did you see that in verse 13? But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, in some versions it says they was mocked. They're just drunk. That's all. Beloved, I want you to understand. I want you to understand this. When people can't figure something out, they will make something up. Beloved, there are going to be some haters in your life that will disguise themselves as family. There will be some haters in your life that are going to disguise themselves as your friends, as your boo, as your bae, as your husband, as your wife, that when they can't explain something that they see happening with you, they will make something up. Can I just go ahead and suggest that some of you have haters around you every day. Some of you have haters in the workplace. Some of you got haters in your bedroom. And before they give credit to the supernatural transformation that is taking place right before their eyes, they would rather take shots at you. They would rather hate on you. They would rather say it's anything but God working in your life. So here's your homework. Verses 14 through 41, read them on your own. And the reason why I say do that, because I wrote them down, but I didn't write nothing behind them, right? Because what happens in those verses is Peter catches a chip. Oh, you've seen a Peter that understands that he lives. And he says, oh, no, bro, we ain't drunk. And then I like how he put it, right? He said, it's just 9 o'clock. Like, I wonder, I just kind of wonder sometimes, Jeff, if Peter was playing something like, now, if you'd have called us at 3:30, you know, I just wonder. It's just me messed up like that. But he said, it's just 9 o'clock, first of all, right? And then he begins to go on and explain to them what they've done, how they rejected the chief cornerstone. How they rejected Jesus, how they killed Jesus, how they set a murderer free in order for Jesus to be put to death. He goes through the whole thing, right? And this is what happens, mother. The Bible says they are pricked to their hearts. This is why it's important to know the word of God, right? We don't want people to feel bad, but we do want them to shut up when they don't know what they're talking about. We got lives on the line here. And don't come for me because you don't believe that God would do it in me. Anybody got people in it? Like, after all you done been through, after all the crazy you done endured, and now you with God now. Yeah. Oh, okay. So you, and you know what used to kill me was because I got saved in jail, right? And then that old jailhouse religion. So I had a question. I was like, so God can come everywhere, but jail? You know, somebody, I mean, he can do all this stuff. Y'all believe him to be able to do all this stuff. And then when he gets to jail, he shows up at the jail and be like, man, I can't even get into jail, man. I can't get into jail. I can raise people from the dead. I can give sight to the blind. I can help. Peter cut his ear off. I picked it up and put it back on for him. But I can't get in the jail. I can do all that, but I can't get in the jail. See, people will, before they, you're just going, and baby, it is, for some of them, it's just nothing you're going to be able to do. No matter how the deeper you grow in God, it will not matter. It's just something on the inside of them. I call them children of perdition. It's in other words, children of Satan. That you can look at me and go and tell me that grace is for everybody but me. Mercy is for everybody but me. When I first came home, they wouldn't let me preach in their churches. They wouldn't even train me. They said you, somebody with your record does not belong in a pulpit. I said, baby, I am grace and mercy. I am grace. I'm the exact definition of grace and mercy. So I want to say this in closing. Don't let nobody talk you out of your relationship with God. Don't let nobody put their definition of saved on your life. Seek out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? Amen. Next week, we're going to get into my favorite part of the book of Acts. And y'all going to be like, we're going to hear about that again. You sure are. Because it's my favorite part. At chapter 2, verses 42 through, 45, 47? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And this is what I need you to do. I need you to come back, number one. First of all, I need you to come back, okay? Because I'm talking about, you know, I ain't even watching. Okay, I'm going to watch TV, but I ain't going to watch that much. Because I'm going to work on this hard, right? And what I need you to do is bring some. Y'all coming back Sunday? You coming back Sunday? You're in church now. You coming back Sunday? Okay. I'm going to hold you to it. You know I got your number. I'll get your number. And so y'all coming back and bring as many people as you can, because next week we're going to talk about what happens when we're all in alignment. I'm talking about crazy things. Now, listen, as we close, wouldn't it be, how crazy would it be if at the end of the year, the dopest church in the city, not because of numbers, right? But we want them. And you know why we want everybody in here? Not so that we can say we got everybody in here. I believe in everything that comes out of her mouth. You see what I'm saying? I believe in everything that comes out. I believe in everything that comes out of his mouth. I believe in everything that comes out of her mouth. I believe that she can lay hands on me and heal the sick. I believe this. You understand what I'm saying to you? We got ministers in training that are missiles. I'm talking about absolutely hollow points, missiles. That's why we want them here, was because I don't know what everybody else is talking about. I ain't saying we the best, right? But when you think of our DNA, our makeup, right? This place should be packed out with everybody that's going through what we've been delivered from. You see what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be, after all of the hating, after all of the pss, 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 you know, I get 2 to 3 phone calls a week with vultures. Heard the building's up for sale. 2 times this last week, they told me that they heard it was sold. I'm like, well, there's a problem. If it is, there's a problem. And here's the thing. You know when people are checking on you because they love you? When people are checking on you to swoop in for the kill. Wouldn't it be amazing at the end of this year, we the dopest church in the city. Signs, miracles, and wonders. People are coming over here that could never get clean, getting clean. People are coming over here who have said, I've been busted up in my heart so much, I'm never going to get married and find love and get married and live happily ever. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it prove the scripture of Joel true when he says, I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh? Can I just go ahead and take it deeper? I'm pouring out my spirit even on the ex-prostitute. I'm pouring out my spirit on the ex-drug dealer. I'm pouring out my spirit on the ex-drug user. I'm pouring out my spirit on the ex-gang member. I'm pouring out my spirit on the ex-womanizer, fornicator, homosexual, lesbian. I'm pouring out my spirit. And could you just see it? I mean, would you just look around and just imagine with me that this place is packed full of people that people had given up on, and on the strength of the Holy Ghost that resides in this place, they are living their best life, and I'm talking about biblically best life. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing? Best life, man. Best life, bro. Wouldn't it be amazing that every one of you who's got somebody out there in the madness in some shape, form, or fashion, right? But at the end of the year, you look across, you look down your aisle, and your whole bloodline taking up that aisle. Joel showed us it can happen. God used Joel to say, it can go down. I can have your whole bloodline running down the aisle. Wouldn't it be amazing at the one that would never, just couldn't seem to get right, always in and out of prison, always in and out of jail, and him and his woman, his fiance, his wife, his kids, you look down and you just begin to sob and weep because you sit back and you like, look at what the Lord has done. Look. We found a place where they wouldn't be judged. We found a place where people wouldn't look at them funny style. We found a place where everybody gonna come and hug them, though they might not even know them. And watch this, they might know them and hug them anyway, because the Spirit of the Lord is dwelling deep down on the inside of everybody that's in here. So we ain't got no room to judge. We ain't got no room to be funny style. All we got is love, and we've got love because we should be dead, but God. But God, wouldn't it be amazing? I see it. I do. I see it. I hadn't been to work for 3 weeks. Love y'all. Love your mother. Haven't been to work for 3 weeks. I went Friday. Legs swole up. This guy that just started working at our job in our foundation, he walks over to me and he says, I've been thinking about you. And in the Bible, every time people went through it the way that you're going through it, there was always a breakthrough. There was always a next level on the way. Anybody in here find yourself going through a little bit of hell every now and again, and it don't make sense, and you don't deserve it, and it's a trip, and you get excited. Get excited for what's on the way. Stay faithful. Stay faithful and get excited for what's on the way. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Let's get you out of here. Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, I like it. Remind me of the money. Now, to make sure this goes on YouTube, that somebody said it and not me, because the preacher's only worried about the bread, right? Praise the Lord. I know that's right. We're going to turn to the tithes.